Hello and welcome to the Standard of Liberty Live. I'm Steve Graham.
And I'm Janice Graham.
And this is our introductory podcast. It's the first one we've done, and we want to introduce ourselves and our Standard of Liberty Foundation to you. One thing we'd like to recommend you do is go to www.standardofliberty.org, and you can see our website and learn more about us there.
There's tons of stuff on it.
Yeah, one of the things we wanted to do today is talk about why there is such a thing as Standard of Liberty and what it's all about. So, the Standard of Liberty Foundation was organized back in June when Janice and I were so concerned about the direction we were going in our country with regard to a
sexual activist movement.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do was have some way of getting information out to people about the activist movement that's affecting our country, and it's all over the place. It's in our schools, it's in our churches,
in our entertainment, in all media. And we hope to help protect childhood and safeguard the ideal of traditional marriage and family. We've noticed that parental rights are being threatened, and maybe most important, religious freedom is being threatened. And we also have a personal stake in this. We hope that our social conscience is very much alive, but we have 7 children and 7 grandchildren now. And also, one of our children was affected by the homosexual activist movement. So this makes it a personal thing.
Yeah, one of our sons was, several years ago, was lured into internet pornography.
This was back in 1995. Mm-hmm. It's when the internet, when it first came to be, and we, of course, installed it on our computer.
Sure,
home
we
computer,
thought it was a great thing.
And we had no idea that already there was pornography.
Yeah, in its early days, pornography had already seen that this was, for them, a great opportunity to have
the porn industry.
Yeah, the pornography industry. In immediate access to anyone in their home. I mean, it made pornography so much more easy to get, and it was, in fact, pornography was on the way down, apparently. It was dying out because of the difficulty of getting it. You had to go to the store or the video or whatever and buy the magazine or the tape. But then with the internet, they said, look at this. We've got the opportunity to get this pornography to people right in their very homes, in the privacy of their home.
And by their own admission, they targeted children. They target young people and even children as young as they can get them,
to get them addicted to this material. Well, anyway, one of our kids, our middle child, was, I don't know, kids just love, they just catch right on to technology. And he was really interested in the computer. And back in those days, we didn't realize the danger. And he started linking, well, first he was going through adolescence. He was 14, 15. And he'd been through a lot of peer abuse, actually. He'd always been called a sissy, and he's very artistic and musical.
He was a wonderful, wonderful, sweet kid who likes
enthusiastic
things
about life and beauty. And so, you know, there was some labeling, and he was called names, and he started to question his masculinity. And, you know, homosexuality has lots of causes, and I think the causes are growing.
Sure.
We've read that. I've done a lot of studies on this.
Yeah,
we think one of the newest, most recent, current causes is peer abuse because of the macho image. So if you don't fit into that, you're called all kinds of names. And also this same gender pornography that is a huge industry. I mean, just think about it. The people who produce pornography have a whole new venue. It's not, you know, it's not pictures of women for men, it can be pictures of men for men, pictures of women for women. I mean, it just exploded their market.
Well, yeah, with the sexualization that has occurred in our society.
Over-sexualization,
yeah,
and improper sexualization.
Yeah, the idea is for them is to create anything that elicits a sexual response. And so it doesn't matter if it's the same sex or opposite sex. They just want that erotic response from people. And
because
so,
it's addictive.
And so there's
and it's an escape.
A great rise in the variety of pornography. And homosexual activists are sure that they can use pornography of any kind, same sex and opposite sex, in conditioning our culture. And we can see it all around us.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so our sweet son started wondering about his masculinity, and was he, it's kind of like a Pinocchio syndrome. Am I a real boy or not? Why are all my peers, who I want so much to be accepted by, treating me as if I'm not a real boy, as if I'm not one of them? And he started looking at
Muscle Men
sites, and those sites, because he was curious about his developing, his maturing body,
and he thought,
wondering if he was going to mature correctly.
Yeah,
or
and
who
he
was.
Thought maybe he could go to some of those sites and get some muscle building exercises and get himself buff, and maybe that would have some effect on the attitude of his friends or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a lot more to that story, and in fact, we've got two books. One's been published for a year, and the other's about to come out about this story. There, you can see about them on our website. One's called My Darling from the Lions, and that's my point of view of this story as a mother. And the other one's called Captain of My Soul, and our Captain of My Soul, and our son has written that, and it's not quite out yet, but it's.
And we highly recommend both of them. When this second one, My Captain of My Soul, comes out, we'll recommend that you buy it. But if you go to our website, which is www.standardofliberty.org, you can find information about My Darling from the Lions, descriptions and how to get it.
But we haven't said yet what happened.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So he was, funny how time plus crisis equals humor. I mean, we can actually laugh about this now, but it isn't funny, and it wasn't funny at the time. It's just that when you get some understanding and you get some education, then you can see how all of this happened, and it's such a relief that you actually can laugh about it a little bit.
And the thing that's kind of crazy is that we never even knew it was happening.
We didn't know. So anyway, our son was looking at these Muscleman websites on this brand new internet, and it linked him to written pornography first. Mm-hmm. And so he started reading stories, erotic stories, and they were same gender erotic stories. And this is the thing we learned in our son's counseling that he received. An adolescent, well, everybody, but especially an adolescent boy can be, for want of a better term, turned on by practically anything and even nothing. And so just the idea of reading about sex and looking at
the
human
muscle.
Bodies
yeah.
was stimulating. And if anybody denies that, they are lying. anyone can be sexually stimulated by this kind of material, and especially adolescent boys.
Especially adolescents. Yeah.
So he was linked to that, and then it became an addiction and sort of an escape from his.
He was sad about the way
yeah.
he was being treated and discouraged, and
this
so
was,
this was a way for him to get away.
Yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, the story goes on, and it's easy to imagine that he got deeper and deeper into same-sex pornography, and then this gradually occurred into high school mm-hmm. and into college. Once in college, and he attended Brigham Young University, which is a church college, and you'd think that you'd be safe from things like this, but no. He got on the internet there, and chat rooms were the next step.
Yep. Sure.
Where he was actually communicating with real people, and he said to us later that he thought he could convince them of their wrong ideas, but instead, as often happened, these older, more experienced people convinced our 18-year-old son that he should experiment. And this,
and they're clever with their the way they convince you too. I mean, it's like they create an atmosphere of acceptance and
oh,
say,
yeah.
"Oh yeah, the reason you're not being accepted by your peers or those people are being mean to you or whatever is because you're not that way."
And you're different, and you're like us, and they're bigoted, and they're wrong, and they're closed-minded.
But we understand you, and we accept you just the way you are.
Oh, yeah. And so he found a sense of a niche that he could belong in. Anyway, we won't tell you the whole story, but the good news is he was not happy. He was miserable in the whole situation he was in. I mean, it's not that that was his whole life. He was active in school. He had lots of activities going on, and
he was
active
an
in
student.
Church. But he felt that it was a dark side of his life, and he wanted to get out of it. And he finally reached a low point, a low enough, miserable enough point in his life where he asked for help, and came totally clean with all of the things he'd been involved in. And that's when we were able to find, well, actually he voluntarily did all of this on his own. He went to a brilliant sort of groundbreaking counseling service, and he was able to correct those wrong ideas that pornography had given him about who he was, his masculinity,
and all
the wrong ideas that his peers had given him, and entertainment and media, everything that had given him the wrong ideas about himself. And it was only a matter of months before he said, "Okay, I get it. I understand how I got lured into this, and I want out." And a lot of his healing had to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ and his identity as a son of a loving Heavenly Father. So that's the story of how we, as his parents, and as citizens, and as members of our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, got involved in educating ourselves.
Yeah, how we became aware of the activist homosexual movement and how we began to learn about it. What we had to do was accept the fact that it was out there, because we had seen things about gay this and homosexual that, but we had no idea that there was as strong, dedicated a movement as there is. So we started studying about it, learning about it, checking, as our son Drew was going through his counseling, we were learning too. And so over the last six years, we have learned a lot. And so we wanted to share some of what we had learned, especially the message in our book.
And one of the things we've learned is this helpful information about the truth about this sexual movement, including feminism, radical feminism, and the gay movement, and truth about overcoming sexual addictions and misconceptions about gender and all about homosexuality, these things are hard to find, relatively hard to find, because the mainstream media is not presenting these things. And so our youth, the young people in our country and our children, are growing up hearing only one side, and it happens to be propaganda, which is really scary. Right now I'm reading George Orwell's 1984. I haven't read it since high school. And it is frightening. And it's way too similar to what's happening in our world today. I mean, every single day on the radio or on TV, you will hear gay-affirming material. We have movies, we have TV shows, we have books, we have education programs in high schools, junior highs, and elementary schools. We have targeting this age kids, and in a gay-affirming, gender
blur.
Unlimited gender. Like, there's more than two genders, which is absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane to think.
Yes. There are only two genders, but all of this propaganda is telling our young people that gender is not a hard and fast rule. In fact, I read the other day, you can wake up in the morning and decide what gender you're going to be that way and dress and act accordingly. Well, I call that a serious disorder and very sad. And one of the first things we learned was that the reason this movement has exploded probably stems to the 1973 decision by the...
Yeah, Roe versus Wade in the Supreme Court.
Well, that, and also the APA.
That. Which is the 1973 decision by the American Psychiatric Association to remove homosexuality as a disorder from their manual.
And this was not done according to science. This was done according to political pressure. I mean, it was staged. We have lots of information that you can read about how this actually occurred.
If you go to the website, you can find the information.
But it was it's a shocking development because the professional people in the psychology and psychiatric world, many are still shocked that this happened because they know homosexuality to be caused by trauma, probably at an early age. And we're here to say that it's caused by even more things now.
Sure, there are many causes for the homosexuality. And the message, what happened back in 1973 was those activists, those people dedicated to getting that message out, began infiltrating all of the very influential parts of our society, such as the media, the entertainment, the movies and
education,
education, the politics, and even it's in the judiciary,
and
so they've had their influence felt while the rest of us were going along thinking everything was okay.
And so that was coming up on 40 years ago, and so we're a little bit behind here.
But and so what we want to do is educate and let people know the truth about the activist homosexual agenda, that what their message is, what they're trying to do, and what you can do about it. And the message that you hear out there is homosexuality is not a choice and it doesn't go away. And it's perfectly natural and normal and should be accepted by our society.
And that's the most dangerous part. The first part, Steve was just saying that it's not a choice. We realize that it does not feel like a choice for a lot of people. Some homosexuals admit that it's a choice. Famous lesbians like Camille Paglia and Tammy Bruce say that they, of course it's a choice, and they do it because they want to be different. And others say they have no choice in it. They've had these feelings since they could remember. And we respect that feeling that they have. When there is damage done to a child, even before the age of that your memory can recall, there can be deep, deep psychological damage. And we understand that. But the danger lies in our society accepting an illness or a disorder as normal and healthy and natural. And that kind of attitude is pervading our culture.
Yeah, for thousands of years, it was accepted and known that this homosexual behavior and thoughts and feelings are not normal. They go against the natural order of things.
Counterintuitive, as they say.
I mean, if you stop and think about what homosexual...
Maladaptive.
Maladaptive is right.
To the human race.
Homosexual activities are not natural. Our bodies are not made for those types of activities. And yet, they want everyone to accept and
that's the danger, is when, as a culture, we start accepting that illnesses are not illnesses.
But they're actually socially acceptable and preferred.
Like, and it's not just homosexuality that this is happening with. I mean, there's a website about anorexia being perfectly fine and healthy. I saw something on TV about this. There was this fashion show for obese women, and it was being celebrated. I mean, those are just a few examples of how something that is unhealthy is being portrayed as good, natural, fine, normal, and healthy.
The idea these people are trying to get across is that there are no rules. And they can only do that if they can, say, do away with God. You know, if there's no God, then there's no rules. There's no basis for a morality.
Yeah, according to Robert Bork, I just finished reading Slouching Towards Gomorrah. He says that our traditional moral values, they can exist. People can believe in them without religion, but not for long, because they are stemmed from religion. The foundation for morality is based on those Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
And so another thing happening in our country, along with these sexual and you know, sexual activist movements, is the undermining of religion and the undermining of the traditional family. It's all connected. One time we gave a presentation about protecting our freedoms, and one of the ladies afterwards said, well, why don't you call your presentation homosexuality, you know, all about homosexuality or something, because that seems to be what you're talking about. And she did not make the connection that this sexual activist movement is endangering our freedoms.
And if you want to see some examples of that, just see what's happening up in Canada. Since they made homosexuality and same-sex marriage legal in that country, people have begun to be charged with crimes for not accepting homosexuality and not wanting to support, just for having their own personal beliefs. What they're also doing is, as Janice says, they're going after our families. The court in California is an example where the court said parents have no right to decide what their children should be taught in their schools.
Oh, that's scary.
And it was about sexual questions in a survey that was being given to the kids without the parents' knowledge. Oh.
And this happened, actually. This same type of thing happened to our own daughter in our own community high school just a few months ago. There was homosexual advocacy material in the school-sponsored student newspaper, part of the curriculum. Our daughter's in the journalism class. And we talked to the teacher, we talked to the principal, we talked to the PTA, we talked to the community council, and no one was interested in finding out anything about this activist movement. They don't think it really exists. They don't think it will harm their children. In fact, I could not believe it. One of the PTA ladies actually said, well, my children aren't going to be influenced by this. And I wanted to say to her, is your social conscience dead? Are you not on the PTA? Do you not care about every student in the school?
I know, as long as your kids are okay, you don't care about what happens to anybody else.
What's she doing in a leadership position that has a stewardship for thousand kids? Anyway, it was incredible. So,
and we'll probably talk at length about that on
issue is
podcasts.
Ongoing. We have a lawyer looking at our case, because it's actually illegal to ask a student's opinion on sexuality in Utah. There are laws that say you cannot ask students their opinions on any kind of sexuality without their parents' permission.
Yeah.
And that was done when our daughter was asked to write an article. And so there was a pro and a con article about gay clubs. And that's how this all happened. Anyway, if we haven't explained that very clearly, we'll talk about that more later. We have lots to talk about.
Yeah, and we're going to. We're going to put up these podcasts as often as we can as things come up going on in our communities, in our country, and things that we think are important to share with you.
Because it's this point of view is not being expressed. It's not being allowed. Actually, it's being silenced in the mainstream media. Once in a while, you'll hear some little voice of reason. But from our experience, we have been canceled by radio. When my book first came out, we wanted to, of course, get some exposure.
Some publicity, sure.
Yeah. And we had one radio station said, sure, we'd love to have you on here. And two times they canceled us at the last minute. Another radio station just refuses to have us on. And yet they have the other view that we should accept homosexuality in our culture as natural and normal. They have that view on all the time. I love what C.S. Lewis said. In one of his novels, one of the characters said, oh, there are dozens of views. And the person he was talking to said, yes, and there are dozens of views until you know the answer. And then there is only one. And that's what we're about.
And we think there's only one, and it's that these things are, this homosexual activities, thoughts, and feelings are outside God's law.
And harmful to the individual.
Yep. And we are trying to get the truth, the information out there, so that we don't have a society full of people who are misled or conditioned to accept.
And so that we don't have a society where a person who with unwanted, remember that, unwanted homosexual tendencies is not able to get professional help. Because that is actually occurring.
Yeah, that's what the APA is, the activists in the APA are trying to get right now is censuring their members who would actually treat someone who said they wanted to overcome homosexual tendencies.
It's incredible, and it's political, and it is not based in science, and that is dismaying to a lot of professional people.
So anyway, that's a little bit about what we're about at the Standard of Liberty Foundation.
It's heavy stuff.
Yeah, and we recommend again that you go to our website www.standardofliberty.org and see what we have to have collected, and lots of good information, current things that are going on, as well as things from back over the years.
Oh yeah, because we've kind of had to start at the beginning and learn about this. And we should sort of finish our story about our son.
Okay.
He's perfectly fine now. And that's the miracle of forgiveness. It's the miracle of redemption. It's the miracle of truth. If you truly understand the reality of things and you have people to support and love you through it, and you believe that God is there to help you and that Christ died for your errors and mistakes and sins, whatever you want to call them, if you believe that there is such a thing as sin and redemption, you can be healed, you can be cured. It's a difficult path. It was difficult for our son, but not perhaps as difficult as you might think. Like we said, there's lots of causes for homosexuality nowadays.
So,
we're going to try to keep this podcast to a half hour.
Yeah,
so
keep these 30 minutes long. And so we thank you for listening and encourage you to listen to our next podcast. Again, this is Steve Graham.
And Janice Graham.
And we'll see you next time.